Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team, developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practiced lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Answers Network, the show that interviews industry experts to bring answers to the questions that you all have. My name is Chris Berry. I am one of the team members here at Answers Network, and I will be stepping in for Alan on this week's show. On today's show, we are very excited to have Ms. Joanne Menon, who is a spiritual psychology coach who works with people to help them overcome major pain, emotions, or any challenges to ultimately live a life filled with more tranquility. So without further ado, Joanne, welcome onto the stage. How are you doing today?
Oh, thank you so much for the introduction. And I am in a very joyful place right now. So I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. I know beforehand we were talking about you coming off of a retreat. So we got all the joy.
Yes, I was on a retreat for the last couple of days here in Newport. And you come away and you're just on this high. And you've been in this community of powerful souls who are really willing to do this work and heal. And by the end of, you know, a couple of days, you go down to the heaviness, but then you come back up and you're stronger than you've ever been. So I'm both exhausted and elated at the same time.
It's funny how both of those feelings could be present at the same time. It's like the body's
But
like you said, the energy is just so crazy high in the same sense.
It is. It is definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I know I have a list of questions here, and I even want to dive a little bit deeper into, you know, the retreat, what everything that you guys go through on that. But before I dive into all of this and we kind of get in the conversation, I want to make sure that everyone here listening today has a little bit of a better understanding of you, who you are, your background and everything, and what they could basically expect to hear over the next, let's call it 45 minutes of us chatting together. So I'm going to go through really quick, share a little bit about your background, and then we can continue the conversation.
That sounds great.
Awesome. So everyone that is here either listening or watching, Joanne was originally a public school teacher and a writing mentor over at UC Irvine in Southern California. And as she began her career as a spiritual wellness coach, her son actually was diagnosed with autism. So as she got into this, she said, how can I seek answers? How can I get a better understanding of all of this in order to ultimately heal her son? So this led her down the path of actually getting a master's degree in spiritual psychology, consciousness, health, and healing. So once she went ahead and got all of this, basically for the past 20 years, Joanne has actually been a student and a teacher of A Course in Miracles, which leads spiritual retreats in Olympic National Park, Newport Beach, and Bath, England. And she also recently developed the Eternal Circle Process to assist clients with the challenges of spiritual growth. Her passion is teaching differences between the ego mind and the holy mind, which is something I want to dive into in a minute because I'm curious to hear more.
I can't wait.
And also helping clients to achieve the highest levels of co-creation and communication with the divine. There's so many things I want to dive into, but
that was a mouthful right there. It's like, wow, that's a lot. But yeah, that's what I do.
It is. Well, and ultimately, it really touches upon your vast knowledge in this entire space and everything that you've really dedicated a large chunk of your life to learning and doing and everything like that. So before we get into some of those different avenues, first things first, just so people here can understand it, what is spiritual psychology?
That's a great question. Spiritual psychology, it is the study of psychology, but what's been added back in is this element of soul. It's not just, oh, what's my mind doing? Or can we have a psychiatrist diagnose me as something wrong? It tunes into the idea of your soul, of your authentic self, of this higher wisdom that is always available to you at at all times. And when you understand there is something working on your behalf, there is this wise aspect of yourself always available, no matter what problem you are faced with, you can pause and just say, there's a part of me that knows the answer to this. And it's not that there's anything wrong. It's how am I viewing that that's causing me pain or suffering or confusion? And is there a better way? Is there a different way that my authentic self can tap into to guide me to the answer that I need?
Interesting. And there's obviously some skills that when we're kids, we naturally have. And then as we grow older, maybe we start to hamper or suppress it and stuff like that. When it comes to everything that you were just describing, is this something that is more of a, let's call it learned skill, or something that you need to actively practice? Or is it something that we have inherently as children and then we start to suppress it as we grow older, would you say?
All of the above, yes. you definitely, kids definitely have that intuitive sense. They're highly creative. And an example of that is when my son was in middle school, we had to detour into the homeschooling arena, which I was not prepared for, but it just so happened, long story short, here he is a homeschooler. And what was amazing is we did join a science farm camp. This was when we were living in Ojai. And the idea was kids need to follow their own intuition as to what they want to do. And it was fascinating to watch the younger kids just explore their creativity. They were doing all kinds of things. And the older kids literally didn't know how to access that side of themselves. And it took the teacher of the science farm camp to suggest to us, like, listen, your son is going to have to actually learn to be bored for a while, because he's so used to being told what to do and told what to do and told what to do and to follow the bells. He doesn't know how to think for himself. And sure enough, it took about 8 months. My son read a lot and did things, but he would watch the littler one, you know, the little ones. And all of a sudden one day something just turned, and suddenly he'd come home and he'd be like, Mom, I was studying, like, you know, everything from the medieval ages to blacksmithing to, oh, now we're out on, a, you know, we're studying what does the environment look like after this huge fire came through Ojai. And he just came alive with what he needed for his own personal growth. So I really watched it in him. So he kind of developed that skill. But a lot of times adults who come to me, they say, like, you know, on the surface of what I saw in the physical world, it seemed like maybe it was this man was the perfect partner for me, but something just felt off and I didn't know what it was. And what's wrong with me that I just can't go with this beautiful picture that's being presented? And I always say, whoa, slow down. Your intuition is actually telling you something is off. You don't need to wait for the evidence. You need to trust yourself. And so as we are adults, part of what I teach is, how can you stand in your own spiritual authority? How can you trust that your own wisdom that's coming from you, or like I like to teach, it's coming from the divine. Can you trust that is the answer that you need? And not only is it for you, but it's a win-win. If it's coming from these higher realms, it will be a win-win for every single person, versus if you're in your ego state of mind and you're protecting yourself and you have to build your empire and you have to do all of these things, the ego tends to look out for itself. Your higher wisdom will always look out for everyone involved. So it is a skill you can develop, definitely. Absolutely, 100%.
There's so many things I want to dive into just based on what you said. The first thing that comes to mind is, in today's society especially, and I'm a little bit of a younger guy, I'd say, but regardless, so many people, they're constantly stimulated from social media to the phone, whatever it may be. And it's just a skill, as you said, of just understanding how to be bored and really craft into your mind. How do you say that today's society, with all of these different tools, that I like to describe it as a double-edged sword, because there's so many positives. We wouldn't be able to be speaking like this today if it weren't for this.
True.
But in the same sense, how do you feel that this integration of all these new technologies has hampered or maybe improved these different items that we've been discussing?
I'll give you a perfect example. My son's 25. He's a brilliant artist. He's loved art ever since he was a little, I mean, he was 5 years old. He was in the kindergarten classroom drawing, and he would cry when the teacher would, like, erased one of his little chalkboard drawings or say it's time to put things away and go do this, he would cry. So he's always been an artist. He's lucky in that aspect. But here he is putting all of this work into art, and suddenly AI comes along. And he's like, oh my God, something that just took me 2 weeks to do, someone can do in minutes. And he's like, my whole career path is gone. And I said, hold on. There is a part of you that still is highly creative. Not only that, I trained him to be intuitive. So I said, don't look at AI and you got to know this and this and this and this and this. Trust that you are always guided to what you need. And again, it will benefit everyone. And he just called me last week after some distressing months. I mean, he feels devastated that his career path has just been blown up. And he called me just a while ago and he said, Mom, you're not going to believe this. I just went to this amazing talk, all of these, you know, illustration designers together at the school called, I think it was Newman. Pardon me if I'm saying that wrong. Newman. I can't remember. But he went to this talk. But on the way there, he was so upset because the traffic was bad. He was late. He missed the whole intro dinner where he thought he was going to be networking and meeting some of these great people. Well, he ran in late. And as it turns out, they had some kind of a raffle. He was probably the last raffle ticket in, and he could not believe at the end of this super inspiring talk, they said, hey, by the way, we're going to give away this very expensive, profound 3D program about how to, you know, do these monsters and all of this. Who won? My son. And he goes, when they called my name, he goes, I almost knew that I was going to win, but I knew I was, my whole art career was being directed. Like, whatever is in this 3D program, it's for me. Stop worrying about AI. Follow whatever this is about. And so he said it was such a deep knowing, but I've also trained him to trust that. So he could watch all the news and freak out about it and AI, but he's like, I just have to follow these little tiny breadcrumbs that will lead me to the highest level of creation possible. And so that's, you know, he's a perfect example of that. Just wait a minute. Wow.
Yeah. And I think that whole story right there really shows the importance of, as you said, the intuitiveness and having all of these different skills, because regardless of whatever's thrown at you, you have the ability to pivot, to adjust whatever it is.
Exactly. And his story was so beautiful because I had been in an AI screenwriting class just a few weeks before, and we ended up with the people who were in this room. It was phenomenal. I was thinking, like, how did I get in this room? We had that one of the former heads of Pixar. He was responsible for Up and Toy Story and Nemo. And like, how did I get in this room with this man? And there was someone from Paramount and there was a director from Switzerland. But the guy from Pixar said his whole career with Pixar was because he threw some simple storytelling class up north in California. And one of the other heads of Pixar happened to take the class, thought he was incredible, invited him onto the team. And pretty soon he's now working on these epic scripts. And so his advice to me was, tell your son, just keep going and follow the path. And just follow that deep knowing, your inner wisdom, that you're on the right trail. But it's like, it doesn't matter if that happened 30 years ago or it's happening to my son. There is an energy that's always leading you to what you really desire. It's the relentlessness of joy. Joy will hunt you down. It will chase you down. It will tackle you until you align. And that's that soul work that spiritual psychology is really primarily concerned with.
Okay. Interesting. And obviously we can continue going down this path, and I want to circle back to it, but even rewinding to the very beginning, obviously you're at UCI. You're doing all these different things. He has autism. What led you down this path?
That's a great question.
Going into this, like, why all of this?
So I've always, like, my son is the artist. I've always been a teacher at some level. I actually started teacher training programs when I was in high school, believe it or not. And what happened was, I loved the teaching career. I ended up I was a writing project fellow at UC Irvine, which I loved, did a lot of teacher training. And then at one point I was a high school teacher over at Beverly Hills Unified, and I had my first son. Everything went, the artist, everything went, you know, white picket fence, every milestone hit, you know, that kind of life. And then my second son came along, and he was great up to 8 months. And then we had this massive turn of events, which I won't go into, but he was eventually diagnosed with autism. And what happened at that point is all of the systems that were supposed to help, the medical, the school, like all of these systems I had always put my faith in, suddenly none of them were working and they were actually flipped against us. And as a parent, to, you know, watch your child going, my child is in extreme distress. Like he's physically uncomfortable. He stopped talking. It's like, he can't hear me. And then, you know, doctors are like, he's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm like, he's not fine. Talk about mother's intuition. It's like, yeah. And so I had to start like fighting for answers for my child. And it got to the point where it was so bad. I really kind of in my heart, I'm like, there's got to be a better way. And that's actually when I started a spiritual path to like this huge, like who can help me? Because nothing in the quote unquote physical world is helping me. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And the schools are against me. No one wants my kid. I can't get funding. My husband and I, my first husband, we were going broke on therapies. All the money we had saved for our first starter home, gone. So it's like our marriage is falling apart because we're so exhausted. We love our son, but we're having to take turns, take care of him, and we had no support. So our lot, everything felt like it was taken away. And so I had to kind of, in a way, leave the physical world that had always supported me my entire life and just start looking for other answers. And it was like the moment that I asked, there's got to be a better way, these miraculous events started happening. Someone told me about an amazing special ed attorney. Wow, she came in and just rushed into our lives and said, you need to get treatment as soon as possible. The sooner you can kind of rewire his brain, the better. And then someone else called, they were calling from my mom's club, but somehow we were talking about both of our sons being autistic. And she said, you need to learn about this school called the Help Group. By the way, tomorrow night, they're having a meeting. You need to go. I'll meet you there. And I'm like, great. She never showed up, but I was blown away by the school. I knew, talk about the breadcrumbs. I'm like, my son has to be in this school. I know this. Never met this woman. Never heard from her again. I don't know if she was an angel. Was she real? I have no idea. But wow. I followed the path and with the special ed attorney managed to get my son into this incredible school. And from that point on, it was almost like I had evidence that miracles were happening on our behalf. Even when my son transferred a few years later into a public school, his preschool teacher at the Help Group, she had 3 months off before quitting the Help Group and going to get her PhD in autism research. Mm-hmm. And I was devastated because LAUSD couldn't get an aide for my son in time. So he was going to start first grade with no aide. I'm like, are you kidding? He's gone from gates and lockdown, one-on-one aides, and now no one. And so they allowed me to hire a private aide for a while. I'm like, so you just had the teacher you've had for the last couple of years is now your aide. Like what? Yeah. So I started building a bank of evidence that proved to me something was happening on our behalf and I couldn't ignore it. And that's really when my spiritual path took off.
I really like that word that you just said, by the way, the bank of evidence.
Because bank of evidence.
that's massive. There's an entrepreneur that I really enjoy. His name is Alex Hormozi, and he talks about a bunch of different things because absolutely affirmations and all of these different things are important to make sure that you have a positive mental frame of you, yourself, and everything. But what he says is that, look, only by shouting affirmations in the mirror, you aren't going to get there. And he says, what you need to rather do is you need to have a stack of undeniable proof of are who you say you are. And it literally makes me think of that bank of evidence.
Yeah. And, you know, this weekend, perfect example, you know, a lot of the participants went through some deep, deep transformation. They had to let go of beliefs they've had their entire life. Mm-hmm. And they would look at me like, you're so confident. How do you know? How do you know these answers? How are you not swayed when someone comes after you or they challenge your spiritual beliefs? And it's like, the bank of evidence for me personally, for what I need, is so massive. No one can really bump me from my beliefs, while at the same time, I always believe I have no idea what any event that's happening to me in the physical realms, I'll call it. I always assume that there's some higher purpose, even if it's painful. And I always assume I, as an ego personality, just me as I know myself to be, or how I or how the culture trained me to be, there's always a part of me that says, I actually have no idea what this event or this person in my life is for, except helping me move closer to love, helping me trust my own intuition more, helping me not have blind faith, but faith based on personal observation. That's what science is. It's observation. So if I have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 examples of miracles working in my life, absolutely one in a billion odds of things happening, good luck bumping me off of what I know I need to do. Yeah. And again, I always believe it's for the higher good of everyone. I don't need to cheat everyone or anyone or go after anything. I just know this is somehow a win-win, even if it means something painful, like ending a marriage or moving or whatever it is. If I have that deep hit of this is what you need to do, please trust it's for the highest good of everyone. Eventually I will see this is why this happened. Got it. Yes. I was right. I followed those little breadcrumbs and I trusted that bank of evidence.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. And I want to dive deeper into the part of, you know, this retreat, what people go through. Before getting into that piece, though, I'm curious. So obviously, you started going through all of these different things. You yeah. found this attorney that led you down all of these different paths. And then that kind of spiraled into you diving deeper and deeper. For people that, whether it be, let's say, a mother or a father of a child with autism, or just really anyone, what are the changes that came about with your son after starting to go through all of this, and what led and kind of what happened during that time period?
Oh, that was a great question. So the biggest transformation for me was the second my son was diagnosed, I went into hyper control. I had to fix this. I need this. And it's like you go into mama bear mode. Like you'll do anything for your child. Yeah. So the control went off the charts. That was the first thing. It was like battle, battle, battle. But as the miracles started happening, I noticed myself relaxing. Like I didn't have to do anything. And this woman showed up to tell me which school to go to. I didn't have to do anything. And I ended up with the best one-on-one therapist to follow my son around his first couple of months in public school, which by the way, is when they're really determining and testing what his IEP is going to look like. So who's leading his IEP? A woman who's going in for a PhD on autism research. That's the person in charge of my son. Are you kidding me? I didn't put that in place. That happened naturally. So I went from control to relax, just relax. And what you need will come to you. Even this, you know, meeting Alan, that came through a neighbor, and Alan and I had a fantastic talk. And we both had chills talking like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And now you're here and it's like, oh, this is a whole different conversation as well. And so it's like, I don't know where it's going. I don't need to. I just trust something beautiful is unfolding. That's it. Absolutely. That's it. Keep it simple.
Yeah. And you said something really great before, of regardless of whatever the situation is, you talk about a marriage ending or this happening, that happening. It's like, I don't get it. Like, why in the world is this happening to me? But then you have the understanding now of where you are, like regardless of whatever event comes in my life, there's a reason why this has happened. And for me, even I'll speak from my own experience, it's crazy because there've been so many times in my life where a massive thing happens. This person dies or this event happens to me. And it's like, I don't understand. Why is this happening to me? And like in the beginning, before you have, let's call it train this muscle, it's like, you just start getting, I'll speak from my own experience. I get mad. Like, why did you let this happen? Or how did this happen and everything?
Yeah.
And but now it's basically what you're saying. And what I've come to learn is it's that mindset shift of, look, you maybe don't understand exactly why it's happening right now, but there's a very specific reason why this is happening. And it's for the ultimate betterment and good. Could you expand a little bit more on that?
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned earlier, I teach the Course in Miracles now in combination with spiritual psychology. And there's a line in the Course in Miracles, which is, I cannot perceive, or I do not perceive my own best interests. So if joy is always chasing you down, or you call it the divine, call it whatever you want, if your own best interest actually has to do with joy, and you are in a situation where you have maybe really outgrown someone, or you feel silenced by someone in your life, that's not joy. That's pain and that's suffering. Or if you have a belief, for example, the roles of parents, for example. Mothers are supposed to do this. Fathers are supposed to do this. And if we do it, if we don't do what the culture says that person is supposed to do, we're deemed as bad and wrong. Yet your intuition might be telling you, I actually need to give my child some space. Yeah. I actually need to trust that there's something higher that is guiding them through their own process. And if I keep intervening, we will have a messy codependent relationship. I'll be frustrated. They'll push back. And ultimately, I'm denying them the opportunity to find their own way and stand in their own spiritual strength. Yet, if I pull away, all these people around me are going to be panicked, like, you're not a good mother. You need to try harder, whatever it is. So, for example, when I moved to England a couple of years ago to be with my second husband, my youngest was supposed to come with us, but my father had just died. And he's like, Mom, it's too soon for me to go. And I'll visit first. And then maybe the following year move with you. And my other two sons were ready to go back to LA and live with their dad and go on to college. But I had to trust that was that move for me was the was what I needed to do. And it would somehow benefit my family in a powerful, profound way. And it did. Ultimately, it did. It, well, besides exposing my kids to a totally different way of life over in Europe, the transformation that I experienced being in a country where it's, I don't want to say repressed, because there's certainly people who are more over, you know, or more are on this path of awakening and they're curious. But there's a lot of people where, you know, being polite and not speaking your mind and keeping your thoughts to yourself. I felt the contrast while I was there, like, oh, it's such a gift living in California, because we truly, there's so many people seeking answers beyond the textbook from their higher selves. And in England, I noticed that wasn't the case. So I felt like I met so many people and I could be a light in certain ways, but I really also moved into gratitude. Like, wow, I am really blessed. To have the life that I've lived. And coming back to Newport, I would find I would just go down the street, and if someone found out that I, you know, studied spiritual psychology, they're like, what? Tell me more. Well, I need this. There was a lot of help me, help me, help me, help me. Yeah. It's like, wow, what a difference, you know? And meanwhile, I still run retreats in England because there's a lot of people who are just now really waking up to that. And I felt like I was on the front edge of that movement of people saying there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way than the stress we see on the news and the TV.
Absolutely. And I want to dive deeper into, first of all, the retreats and everything, but then also even the aspect of traveling, like you even said, and the differences between cultures and everything like that. And it's curious to think about, as you were explaining that, like familial upbringing, whether it be you're living in, born and raised in England or whether it be somewhere else, but even just like the culture of all the different places that we've been into. So we're going to dive right back into that in 1 minute. We are going to jump into a quick commercial break, and we will be right back to go ahead and chat more about all of those different aspects that we just discussed.
Wonderful.
Having a teenager at risk who is going through a traumatic experience can be difficult on parents, siblings, and all who are working with that young person. No family should have to go through this process alone. West Shield Adolescent Services is here to ensure you don't have to. Many of the psychologists and psychiatrists we work with have spoken about the stress families go through. Not just the young person, but the parents, needing to get their child to a program where they can get the help they need. West Shield aims to lessen that stress. Every case goes through a thorough intake process with one of our knowledgeable, compassionate intake coordinators. We want to know the likes, the dislikes, and the fears of each child. This important information is taken into consideration when choosing the best suited team member for each individual teenager. West Shield agents come from all different walks of life, giving us a diverse group of team members to ensure a personalized, compassionate experience for every teenager. This allows us to make certain every young person we work with gets to the chosen program in the best possible state of mind. We contacted over 600 of the youth we've worked with in the past to see where they're at now. 97% of these individuals told us how much their lives had improved, that they had better relationships with their friends and families, had gone on to marry, have kids, and were now using the skills they learned in their program to raise their own children. Our role of transporting at-risk teenagers is a vital step in the process of ensuring a youth's ability to thrive in their new environment, and is a role we don't take lightly. The recovery process can be a long one, but like any journey, it started with a single step.
Awesome. Everybody, we are back. If you are just tuning in or starting to watch us, we are here with Joanne Menon, and we're talking about a lot of really great stuff from all aspects of it and understanding the intuition and everything that's needed in order to live a life filled with more tranquility. So diving back into it, one of the big things I know even before the show we started talking about was, you know, the traveling aspect and the different perspectives and minds and everything like that. So we'll first just dive in to what you were talking about right before we went to the commercial break. What do you believe are the main differences between, let's say, California and then over in England, and why are they so much more closed off and everything like that, would you say?
Yeah, again, it's not everyone by any means. I've definitely found some mighty companions there that are my dearest friends now. But I think the difference is you have this profound history, right? There are worlds of, you know, the time periods when even in the city that I lived in Bath, England, in the architecture, you can see the different time periods. There's Victorian, there's Georgian, you can see it. So there is a history that is so deep within the people there, where in California, the history, you know, you go back a few hundred years, but it's really indigenous cultures that came before that, 10,000 years and beyond and beyond. And so we've lost some of that wisdom with this, you know, we're really such a new society. So I think that's part of it. A lot of people who came to the West Coast, they were the dreamers. They were looking for a different way, right? They were following their intuition. And so they traveled away from a culture that was very defined and that you had these rules that you had to live by. So I think that's really the main reason there's such a huge difference, you know, for me, of what I witnessed. And then on the other side, there's other things that they're so far beyond us, you know, or I should say where the United States is. It's the overall idea of taking care of everyone in your community. And that is much more developed there, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, there's always different circumstances. And I have to say, what you see when you go someplace also has to do with your internal frame of mind. If I'm expecting miracles to happen in my life and I am open to anyone that I meet, even if I had a little scuffle on an airplane, for example, my immediate reaction is, oh, why am I supposed to meet this person? Clearly, it's not to have a scuffle on an airplane. It's to stop, get centered and say, is there a beautiful opportunity for me here? Like, why did I bump into this person? So I tend to see things and meet beautiful people when I'm out, because that's kind of, you know, the vibration and it's what I'm looking for. Yeah. If you're in your ego mind and you always have to be on defense and protect yourself, you're going to see an entire culture from a different landscape than how I see things as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I know we've talked about a lot of these little different concepts from, you know, the intuition, understanding like that gut feeling that originally comes to you, the ego mind, all these different things. And I'm sure that's stuff that you go over in your retreats and helping people get to that next step of everything. So tell all the listeners here a little bit more about your retreats. What do you go through, and who is the ideal person that you would like to have come to these retreats?
Well, I have to say, I can take anyone from beginner to very advanced spiritual learner. Do I prefer someone who's advanced in their process? Of course, because there's the joy of miracles that are going to unfold very, very quickly. Yeah. But it really has nothing to do with whether you're a beginner or you're advanced. What it has to do with, it's really what is your level of willingness to change? What is your level of determination to see things differently? If you are suffering and you're like, there has got to be a better way, I am determined to feel or find find this new solution. If you are open to radical change, by all means, welcome in. And the basic concept that I'm teaching is we have this ego mind, which I've mentioned before, is always in protection. It's the personality that you are. But what I'm asking people to do is identify any kind of suffering, depression, anxiety, and there's a whole host of things. Identify that suffering with your ego mind. And what it is your holy mind or your authentic self, whatever you want to call that, your wise self. It's like your red flag saying, look over here, look over here, look over here. And when you move from that ego mind to recognizing something's off here, there's got to be a better way, you're calling in what I call the holy instant. And that holy instant is your moment where you're activating this part of yourself that is just so wise. It's waiting to give you an answer. And so if you can pause in that space and then start listening for something, it could be that little aha moment, or it could be a song on the radio suddenly telling you, you know, oh my gosh, this relationship's over. Yikes, whatever it is. You listen and then you act. Can you act on the guidance you've been given? When I was told it was time to leave England, it took me a year to really follow that advice. I'm like, no, it's beautiful. I love it. I want to be here forever. And I just kept hearing it's time to go home. And I was like, no. But then it became more and more apparent it's time to go. When I finally listened and took the action, even calling the international movers, I wanted to move in like 2 months. I called them. They're like, great, we'll be there to pick up your stuff in 3 days. I'm like, whoa, 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 3 days. I haven't even packed yet. I can't do 3 days. They're like, oh, well, the next shipment isn't going to leave for another 6 months. So it's either now or 6 months from now. And I'm like, oh my God. So this meant ending for me. This was ending a marriage. This was leaving England permanently. This was huge, but I just knew pack it up right now. Boom. This is the curtain has closed. Do it. And so it took me a long time to get the courage to act on what I knew to do. And you'll hear this from people who've experienced red flags in relationships. Like, I saw the red flags 5 years before. I couldn't do it. And they'll beat themselves up. Why did I waste all those years? But really what you were doing was building up that bank of evidence in other ways until you could trust, okay, it's time to go. It's time to go. Or it's time to really work hard and dig in. That can also be it as well. But it's like, you are actually given guidance on what to do at all times. It's, are you going to take the action? Do you have the courage to do that? And if not, what is it that you need to do? Do you need to do a little bit more of your spiritual work? Do you need to read an inspirational book? Do you need to find a teacher such as myself? Because you just can't break through. You know, you just can't forgive someone, or, you know, you just can't get your career online. What is wrong? I'm trying. I'm determined and I'm stuck. That's where a coach comes in to help you, you know, with those breakthroughs.
Yeah. And you touched on a question that I had, because there's going to be people, they go through specific scenarios, situations in life where it's like you said, I should have ended it a year ago, or it took me a year once I realized. And the question I had is, at what point can the person say, yeah, it's time to go, or whatever it is? And I know you touched upon, you said the bank of evidence. How can people understand what is that final point with the bank of evidence or whatever other item it may be that leads them like, yes, it's time for me to do that, rather than taking, as you shared an example, some people might wait 5 years, 10 years to do something that they know they should have. So what would you say is that impetus, that last little, like last straw, we'll call it?
I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of times pain and suffering is the last straw for people. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, it was physical symptoms. So I was hearing what to do, but I was seeing this beautiful picture that I wanted to make it work so desperately, but physical symptoms. I mean, I was having stomach issues. I was having back issues. I was up with nightmares at night. I was actually hearing what I needed to do, that it was time to go. And I was getting an hour or two of sleep, anxiety through the roof. I mean, my cortisol was probably through the roof. My hormones got out of whack. Like, I was a living zombie until I finally said, I need to go. And then this surge of energy really came through that was like, okay, yep, you need to go, boom. And it's like, oh, suddenly I'm in California. And I'm like, how did I get here? Like, that was fast, but I had to trust. And everything started unfolding when I came here. So I first lived with a cousin for a little bit. And then I heard it's time to go look in Newport. Within 2 hours, I found my place. I now have this lovely view out over Balboa Island and probably as far as to where you are, you know, it's like, and down to Huntington Beach and Corona. It's like, Yep. Wow, everything started working on my behalf at that point. But yeah, unfortunately, sometimes that it's pain, because even if I had heard years before it was time to go, I didn't. My bank of evidence was not built up enough. I didn't trust enough. I didn't actually have the faith that I needed. I didn't have the spiritual tools that I needed. And part of leaving was probably this eternal circle process I developed, which is really just two circles defining the ego mind and the holy mind. But that process came to me, and then I started teaching, and that's really where my confidence came from, because I saw like, wow, this process is really a gift for people, and it was impacting everyone. So it was almost like I had to begin teaching. And as I was teaching, I was believing more and more. I was creating my own miracles. And then when it was time to go, I could finally do it. Not that it wasn't painful. It still was.
Of course.
But the relief on the other side was massive. Yes,
absolutely. And I'm sure, as you said, it's a matter of building up that bank of evidence, but also even having that intuition, understanding, let's call it strengthening that muscle. As it becomes more strengthened, you're able to better identify and do all of that. And one thing that you mentioned before is you can take anybody from whether they're beginner or whether they're advanced. How would you define a beginner versus an advanced person within that? And how can me, let's say I've never heard of this, how do I understand where I land on that spectrum?
That's a beautiful question. So I'll start with someone who is a beginner. They're typically very engaged in the physical world. They're very engaged in, I need my retirement plans. I have to have a relationship that looks like, they're very involved with what the culture says you should do, the tick the green boxes of the culture, right?
Yeah.
So they're trying to be the best person they can. And that could even, you know, a lot of times you'll see activists and things like that. We have to change this and we have to change that. Great. That's fine. At some point, they start getting exhausted because they realize they can't change the world around them. It is literally, it's like banging your head against the wall. And they start saying, I'm not any happier than I was 10 years ago trying to change everyone around me. And if you think of how hard it is to just change your own personal behaviors, and you want someone to change theirs, and you can't even drink enough water in the week, like, are you kidding? You're just, that's like guaranteed suffering. So someone who is an advanced learner, usually, a lot of times they've been the black sheep of the family. That's pretty typical. Or there's something that they're very different than the people they, you know, were kind of raised with. Not always, but sometimes. An advanced learner has already kind of gone through the process of the physical world and all these rules are absolutely not working for me. And they've started to seek answers beyond themselves. And a very advanced learner, they just live in flow and they meet the most beautiful people. They end up in the most beautiful places. Everything just happens for them. It's like they're pulled into life in this unbelievable creative way. And I'll give you an example of a gal who was on my my retreat in Olympic National Park last year. She's an incredible healer. And she said, Joe, I'd be happy to volunteer. And I said, you know what, this is your first time. I don't want you to volunteer unless you get that inner guidance, because someone on the retreat asks for, you know, to work with you. That's okay. But then remember, you're not responsible for them for the rest of the retreat. You are on a retreat as a guest. Well, she ended up doing quite a bit of work for me. She was an incredibly safe. She didn't buy into people's stories about victim. So that's why she can do this powerful work. She just taps into her intuition and she just kind of knows what they need. But she worked hard. And at the end of the trip, she laughed because she went on this VIP experience with me as well for a couple of days. And she laughed. She just happened to have one clean dress left. Everything else, we had dirty hiking clothes, mud covered, sweaty, you know, all of this. She had one outfit left. British Airways happens to call her, ask her if she'd like a class upgrade for $300 on her way back to England. And so she was laughing. She's like, well, of course I'll take that $300 upgrade. Like, that's a $10,000 ticket. Yeah. She had a lovely rest on the way back. I think that was Delta, by the way, that she was flying. Maybe it was British Airways. But anyway, she was just laughing because it was like those divine realms were acknowledging her for only serving in small ways, not overdoing it, not being responsible for other people. And now you get to rest. Now you get to rest. And I had a similar experience the year before. Suddenly, everyone's gone and I'm in a cabin where I thought I'd be like watching TV and relaxing. And I had no access to Wi-Fi. I had nothing. And I realized this is supposed to be just a week of silence after teaching for a week. And so then I finally just, wow. And so much came through. I could see all the beauty of the week. And, but that someone who's advanced, you understand that everything's happening for you. And again, even something as simple as when I was going back to England at one point, I'm literally like at LAX and my husband calls and says, I have COVID. I'm like, are you kidding me? And like, now where am I going to go? To stay at our friend's house? Like, where am I going to stay? And a friend happens to call and says, by the way, I'm in Italy right now. And I said, I'd love to be with you. My husband has COVID. I don't know where I'm going to stay. And she's like, drop your bags at Heathrow. Come. I ended up being pampered for 2 weeks in a Tuscan village, like village. Yeah. All of my needs taken care of. If I put one pair of pants on the ground, I'd turn around and they'd be washed and folded an hour later. Wow. Private chefs. I'm like, what's happening right now? But I'm like, I will happily go. So it's like, I know that I'm always being taken care of for the highest level of joy, peace, tranquility, and connecting with people who are my mighty companions, who also are on these higher levels of thought. And it's just philosophy. It's, you know, it's not for everyone, but it's for me. And it's for the people I meet with.
Absolutely. I'm sure we could probably continue talking for another couple hours about all
of these. Yeah, we could. We'll do that later. Let's do that later.
Exactly. And so I know we got to start wrapping up here. But one thing I do want to make sure that everyone that's listening, if they want to, you know, get more involved with you or start, you know, starting to go through this process, the two questions I have for you. Number one, someone that comes to one of your retreats or goes to one of your classes, what can they expect to when they come in versus when they come out? What change could they see within themselves? Number one. And then number two, how could they actually get in contact with you in order to possibly start working with you?
Yeah. Well, for starters, you can go to my website, which is joannemenon.com. So that's just, you know, where you can find my information. But if someone wants to come to the retreat, what they can expect, I do teach the Course in Miracles. I do teach spiritual psychology. I do also teach what I call now the eternal circle process, but they can expect a level of what are the core concepts of the Course in Miracles. And so I tend to be someone who works well with the visual learners. So it's a lot of diagramming, a lot of journaling. And then what we really do is move into guided meditation. So people start to hear their own answers. And so, for example, we worked a lot with people that we struggle with on this last retreat. Who are those people? And then we tapped into that higher wisdom, not me telling them what to do with those people, but what is it? What do you need to do with each of those people in your lives? And some people heard, wow, I need to back off and stop pressuring them. And other people were like, wow, I ran to that person and just embraced them in such a loving way. But we all heard different things. So what someone on my retreat can expect is that their connection to their intuition is going to be through the roof. They're going to have solid tools, whether it's from spiritual psychology and it has to do with reframing, you know, life's circumstances, or just learning a new philosophy. It's almost like a third way to view, you know, it's like a third world new, it's like a new way to look at the world completely, that everything is there to bring you joy. And if it's not joyful, you're off. That's it. How do you get back on? It's trusting yourself, really. And I'm here to hold space, and I will absolutely believe 100% that you will find your answer, and I don't know it, but I trust you will find it. That's what people can expect. And the level of communion and synchronicities that happen, I could give you 1,000 examples of mind-blowing things that happened this last weekend of people who needed to be seen by someone just like them because their fathers both passed away, or they both were the black sheep of their family and they connected in this powerful way. There is so much magic that happens and so many synchronicities. That's what you can expect. You will have lifelong friends for sure coming to one of these retreats.
Awesome. Well, I can tell you it's been an awesome time chatting back and forth, and we appreciate
absolutely
you being here to share all of this. And we'll obviously, once again, everyone, if you'd like to get in touch with Joanne, go ahead and hop over to her website. And Joanne, I'm sure me and you will be in touch as well. We'll chat.
We should. We'll continue on the conversation with Alan as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much, Joanne.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Awesome. Everyone, thank you again for tuning in. Once again, if you would like to get connected with Joanne, please make sure to go ahead and reach out to her via her website. Next week, we are going to be having Neil Donald Walsh onto the show, and he's going to be talking to us about God Talk. So if you're interested in learning more about that, please make sure to tune in. Hope you guys have an amazing rest of your day, amazing rest of your week. And once again, you've been watching Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.